Good to be back. I hope everyone had a nice Pesach so far, nice first days. Obviously, it was certainly unique to other years. Obviously, it's not so pashut what we're in right now. But nonetheless, I hope it was nice and you were able to make it as meaningful as possible. I'm going to go back a drop from where we left off last. This is a good starting point. He's discussing in the fourth parak that we're in right now, a long parak, three different levels of people. And he's up to the third level, which we'll go back to a drop, which is the general populace, the average person, basically. And he says as follows, Ach ha'aral v'chol ha'hamon, hinei hub inyan aschar v'onesh atman ber'osam omek hadin ad hecha nagia. Says the average person in general thinks about their desire to serve Hashem based on reward and punishment. Now, this is not a high level. The highest level was doing things totally lishma. Last week, we mostly discussed the middle level, which was doing things for kavod. And kavod, at least, like you're doing it for yourself and you want to be exalted, but then there's doing it just for reward, the lowest level. Now, this is still a madrega, you still want to do the right thing, but the reason you want to do it is because you want to avert suffering and punishment, and you want to gain reward. And he says, because of the intensity of the judgment that we're going to face at the end of our lives, that intensity is something that will make someone want to make the right decisions in life. Asher be'emes ro'iliz da'zeliz chared tamid, that thinking about the day of judgment, the ultimate day. If you think about to Rosh Hashanah, when we say in davening that we approach Hashem like one sheep at a time, basically, it's a very scary image to know that we're judged and Hashem is looking at us and us alone. And Hashem has full focus on us. It's a scary thing, and he says it's something that could bring a person to be trembling. Ki mi yamud Biyom hadin, and me it's yitzdak lifnei borok hasher ashkafa so midakdek as a kol davar katan agadol. That how could a person not be scared on the day of justice, day of judgment, when you know that everything is going to be weighed, everything small and everything large. V'chein amar Rabbi Yosef zechron l'bracha, and as the Chazal say, umagid la'adam masecho, that Hashem is going to tell you and recap and go over with you the words that you said in conversation. That's the part where we ended off last time. And it continues, Afilu sicha kala shebein ish la'ishta magidam ol adam b'shasadin. Even the conversation between a husband and wife, Hashem is going to recount to us on the day of justice, the day of judgment. And I think what that means, it's not just the fact, it could be, there are multiple levels that angles, I think, to take to this. One is that, of course, a husband speaks to his wife more than any other person probably in their life. There's constant conversation. So Hashem's going to show you all those conversations that happened. That's one thing. And I think the real essence of what he's saying here is that if you think about, I'll use another extreme. If you have a job interview, or you're giving, let's say I'll give you an example. When I'm giving a shir, I'm giving a drasha. So I try to be, and I should be, of course, very careful with my words. I don't want to, like, say the word like or a lot. Whenever people say them, and it's like, they, like, went to the park, and they, like, saw someone, and it's, like, crazy, it really bothers me. And obviously that person is not so careful with the words they're saying, because everything that comes out, every other word is the word like. But obviously when I speak and I give a drasha, a lot of times I write out word for word. If I'm not writing out word for word, I'm very careful about the delivery. It's a very important thing. And the time when a person is the most careless and thinks about it the least, their delivery, is when they're speaking with a friend or speaking, in his example, with a husband and wife. Husband and wife, they speak so often, they can just say whatever they want. So he's saying, even those conversations that you think are so unimportant, you can just say whatever you want, those are going to be weighed against you or for you. And everything is measured. Od Amru, Usvivav Nisara Me'od. That those surround him are turbulent. And right now, I'll say the next line actually, and then I'll give an introduction. Melamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakte Im Chasidav Kechut HaSa'ara. That Hashem is so meticulous about those who are Hasidim, those who are pious, those who are holy, and he judges them like a hair's breadth to every small thing that they do. And the footnote here in the Sefer I'm using points out that it's actually counterintuitive, because you would think that if you have someone who you're extremely close with, who's extremely devoted to you, that when they mess up a little bit, you're forgiving of them, right? If we go back to the husband and wife example, so if a wife does something wrong, so of course you have to be forgiving, especially if it's something small. And yet we see Hashem is, in a certain sense, the opposite, where even for those who are so devoted to Him, He'll actually be more medactic on them, and He'll be more critical of them and punish them more severely, even if they do some something wrong. And it comes from a place of pure justice, and as he's going to discuss shortly here. But this right here, the next few paragraphs we're going to see, are pretty intense. Because even though we might know some of these, my assumption is you probably don't know all these examples, but even if you know some of these, when you see it and when he lays it out and he expounds upon it, it makes things much more heavy upon us. And that's his goal, is to realize that Hashem punishes us for every small thing that we do. Of course, Hashem rewards us, and he mentions it, that Hashem rewards us for every small thing we do as well. But he's going to give a number of examples of great righteous people in Tanakh who are punished very extremely for sins that they committed. One could say that they were small sins, but certain sins that they committed. And it's a very intense thing, but it's important for us to learn from this and to realize that it's not coming from a place of Hashem being terrible, Hashem having just tremendous wrath upon people, but it comes from a pure sense of judgment and justice. So he begins, and he says, Avram, Hu Avraham ha'ahub lekono ad shakasuv amar alav, Avram o'avi. He says, Avram, of course, is beloved by Hashem. As the Pasuk says, that Avram is Hashem's beloved. Lo pala min ha'din mipnei dvarim kalim shlo diktek bahem. But he didn't escape punishment for even the small things that he did. Al she'amar b'ma eida. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham that he would inherit the land of Israel, so Avram asked, b'ma eida, like, how do I know this? Show me, like, give me a sign. Now, it's pointed out here, it's not where Avram didn't trust Hashem. Avram, of course, trusted Hashem. But it was on whatever small level of wanting a certain assurance of this, that he was still punished. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Chayecha, which is a type of like an oath, Yadoa teda ki ger yezarecha, that your children are going to be strangers in a foreign land. I'm telling you're going to inherit Eretz Israel, you're questioning me, your children, your descendants, are going to be slaves, basically. Al shekaras bris im Avimelech, and also about Avram, the fact that he had a covenant, he made a pact with Avimelech, the lo tziwi shalemakom, he never asked Hashem if he should do this or not. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Chayecha shani mashes b'simchas banecha shiva doros, that Hashem said, because you made a pact with this idolater, with this king, I'm going to delay your children from going to the land of Israel for 7 generations. Now, it's pointed out that they offer 7 different animals as the korban, whenever, a lot of times when there's pact and there's brito that are made in Tanakh, they offer korbanot together as part of that pact, as the seal, let's say, for that pact. So they offered 7 animals. So Hashem says, I'm punishing you for 7 generations that your children should not go into Israel till after the 7th generation. Because of the fact that he should have spoken to Hashem before wanting to make a pact with someone who wasn't a Jew, or obviously was the first Jew, but making a brit with someone like that. Like I said, these are very intense things. And it is certainly, even for myself, it's scary just to hear the fact that Hashem acts this way. even though we know, so we may have heard some of these things, but to see it again and for him to lay his point that Hashem does not let anything go. That's going to be the point of this. Hashem doesn't let anything go. Continuing on, Yaakov, Al Shachar Apo Berachal Sha'amra Lo Havali Banim, that Rachel so desperately wanted children in her life, and she was frustrated with Yaakov. Havali Banim, she said, just give me sons, give me children. And Yaakov, it doesn't say over here all the details, but Yaakov got frustrated at her. Yaakov yelled at her and says, who am I? Am I God? I'm not God. What do you want from me? And so Amru b'midrash elishono, Amru l'kosh baruch hu, Hashem said, kach onim es hameukos. This is how you respond to a person who's crushed, a person who is in so much pain and agony, emotional agony for not having children, when her sister has a number of children already from you. This is how you act to the one who, Rachel also is the one he loves, we're told in the Torah. So Hashem says, Chayecha shebanecha omdim lefnei bana, that the punishment in a certain sense, even though they're all Yaakov's children, is that her children, the person who's saying, what do you want from me? Go to Hashem. So that person, her kids, are going to be greater than the other kids, right? So Yosef, of course, comes from there. Yosef ben Yamin are greater than the other Shvatim. Ulefi, continuing with Yaakov, Ulefi shenasan es dina b'teva, k'deit shalik yikacheha Esav, that when it comes to the section of Esav and Yaakov meeting after many years, after, I believe, over two decades of not seeing each other when Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, so Yaakov appeases him with gifts, and then Yaakov, after all the gifts and the animals are presented to Esav, so Yaakov's kids and wives, and he himself comes before Esav. And when the Torah counts all the kids who go there, it does not state that Dina was there. And Rashi points out, Rashi quotes this Medrash, that I believe it's Medrash, that he hid Dina in a teva, in a box, basically, because he was scared that Esav would see her, Esav would want to marry her, and then poor Dina is married to Esav. So he didn't want even Esav to see her. So here he says, Lefisha natan et Dina beteva k'desh lekacha Esav, when he hid Dina in the ark so that Esav wouldn't see her, afal pisha kavanaso haisa vada letova, even though his intention was of course for the good. Who could want their daughter to marry a Rasha? But nonetheless, he withheld the opportunity to do chesed for his brother. Amru b'midrash, on a side note, before we read the next part, I'll just tell you, I heard a beautiful deal from Rabbi Batal Rudinsky, who says on this that part of the reason for the punishment is that Yaakov was focusing so much about what will Esav do to Dina, how much is he going to corrupt her, when he should have focused on the fact of how much Dina could have had such a positive hashpa on Esav. And Dina could have potentially turned Esav around to do good. That Yaakov wasn't focusing on that part. So it continues, Ach lefim shemana chesed me'achiv, he withheld the opportunity for chesed for his brother. Amr b'midrash, midrash says, Amr lo kosh baruch hu, lamas me'eru chesed, a pasuk in Iyo, which says that you withhold chesed from your friend. Lo bikashta la'asiyah l'mahul. So because Yaakov didn't want to give Dina over to someone who has a bris milah. Well, Esav, right? Esav's father is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak, of course, gave Esav bris milah. Hare hi nises la'ara. The punishment for this is that she ended up getting raped by Shechem. Shechem was, obviously, was a person, the place of Shechem, so I believe named after him. And Dina was raped, and that's where two of Yaakov's kids went and killed the whole city. But Dina ended up becoming raped. So here the punishment was because he wouldn't give Dina over to someone who has a bris milah, so she ended up getting married, in a certain sense, to someone who did not, who was an Arel. Lo bikashal asiyah derech heter, he didn't want to give her over in a permissible way to Esav. Har hinises derech iser, she's going to get taken in a prohibitory manner. Continuing on, I told you these are, I know you're all muted, you muted yourselves, but I'm sure if I could see your faces or hear your voices, these are pretty intense stuff. It's pretty intense. I do not have answers to these questions about, wait, this doesn't seem to add up. Obviously, in a certain sense, obviously, not in a certain sense, obviously these do add up, And Hashem is a person who acts midah k'neged midah. We can't understand necessarily how is this midah k'neged midah. We have to believe this is midah k'neged midah on the level that they were at. Continuing on, Yosef, lefi she'amar l'sar hamashkim kiim zachartani itcha. That Yosef, after he foretold the dreams of the Sar Mashkim and Sar Ha'ofim, he said to the Sar Mashkim, as he was being released from prison, as Yosef foretold from his dreams, he said to him, "Don't forget me, remember me." And because of that, Nitosfu lo shtei shanim, kimaimram zachrono v'racha. The Midrash says that he was added 2 years in prison because he told him to remember him. That he was really supposed to be on a higher level of emuna to not rely on that hishtablus, to not having to tell the person, remember me, that if he doesn't say anything, you know, Hashem's going to take care of things. This is one of the biggest points between the discussion about hishtablus and bitachon, about how much is a person just supposed to rely on Hashem versus how much is a person supposed to have hishtablus. If you think back, let's say when it comes to, I believe if I'm not mistaken, everyone here, I believe everyone here is married. If you think back to when you were dating, so imagine if you want to get married and you just decide to learn, you're going to learn night seder. You don't need to go on dates. And someone says, what do you mean? Don't you want to get married? I said, yeah, but if Hashem wants me to get married, I trust that Hashem's going to give me a wife. So obviously that sounds crazy, right? If you want to get married, you probably have to go on a date in order to get married. Probably many dates. And here, in a certain sense, Yosef wants to get out of prison, so be like, remember me, like, don't forget me, help me out. So on Yosef's level, he shouldn't have done that. But we all, every single person, has to put in their own hishtablus. And everyone at their own level. And continuing with Yosef, so Yosef Atmo al shechonat es aviv bli reshuso shel makom. That after Yaakov died in Parshas Vayechi, Yosef embalmed him, and this was not with permission of Hashem. He didn't speak to Hashem, ask permission first. Oh, lefi sheshama avdecha avinu, that when the brothers didn't know that they were speaking to Yosef. They thought they were just speaking to the second in command, some random Egyptian. So, in referring to Yaakov, they said, Avdecha Avinu, that our servant, our father, your servant, referring to that Yaakov is a servant to Yosef. And Yosef is punished in a certain sense because he didn't correct them. He didn't reveal himself at that point, but Hashem punished him for allowing that to slip by. Vishasak, he was silent. Lemar kidi Isla, there's machlokas about who said which of these two opinions. So Meslifne Echa, because of these two things, he died before his brothers. He was the first of the Shvatim to die. Continuing on, David, Lefi Shakara Ledivre Torah Zmiros. David called the words of Torah Zmiros. So Nenash, he was punished, Shenirsha Bedvar Uza Vinis Arbeva Simchaso. I'll discuss what that story with Uzzah is in a second, but I saw here the footnote explains that when it comes to songs, sometimes, even though one could make the argument the other way, but here it's saying that songs, like, they go in one ear, out the other. The Torah is supposed to be something that lasts with us forever. It's not something that's supposed to be as simple as a little song. And so David was punished for equating Torah to a song, and the punishment was that when he wanted the Aron to come back to Yerushalayim after it was captured, and they recaptured it, so there's a whole procedure, a whole like parade, and he had oxen carry the Aron, and the ox slipped, the Aron was falling, and Uzzah went out to grab it, and because he touched it, you're not allowed to touch the Aron, because he went out to grab it, tried to stop it from falling and hitting the ground, he was killed. Like on the spot by Hashem. And a very intense thing that obviously dampened the parade. It says here that in the footnote that the point is that David should have known that you're not supposed to have the Aron be carried by oxen. And they're supposed to have Kohanim and Levim, really the Levim, who are holding the poles of the Aron. And because he compared Torah to Zniros, which is something that, like I said, that could be in one ear and out the other. So he forgot that concept of Torah, which caused his this punishment over here. This Arbeva Simchason, that disrupted the Simcha of the Aron being brought back through Shalayim. And continuing within that same parade of bringing the Aron back through Shalayim, so Michal, the wife of David, Michal, Eficho Chicha, Es David B'masharaka B'chutzifnei Aron, that when the Aron was being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, David went out in front of it, and he was dancing like crazy. Imagine Ke'ilu, like a big Talmid Chacham dancing before a Torah on Simchas Torah. If you've ever seen it, I have certain images in my mind of people who I've seen dance like crazy in front of the Torah or with the Torah on Simchas Torah. And so Michal, David's wife, saw David, he was dancing like an animal. And she said, she gave him mussar. She said, how could he do that? You're the king. You're not supposed to act that way. And she was punished because he did it, the kavod Torah. He did it for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of Hashem. So Nemsha is a very intense punishment. Nemsha, Shlo Hayala Vlad El Bimusa. She was only given a child on the day of her death. She died in childbirth. That was her punishment for this rebuke. Chizkiyahu, we don't have two more. I think this might be the last one. This is the last one. Chizkiyahu, Lifi Shehera El Sarei Melch Bavel, Es Beis Nechoso. Nigzarban of Leo Sarisim Behechal Melch Bavel. Chizkiyahu was a tremendous tzaddik, a great king for Bnei Israel. And when people from Bavel came, when advisors to the king came, so he showed them his treasure houses of where the king's palace. And he shouldn't have done that. He should have kept the holy palaces of Bnei Israel, not to people like that. And he was punished that his children would serve in the king of Bavel. And his descendants were Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel, who served I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And then he says, "Rabim ka'elam od," and he basically says, "I have many more examples. If I wanted to bring more examples, I could bring more." So that's the end of that part, of that section of explaining how Hashem doesn't let anything slide. And not only doesn't he let anything slide, that we're going to discuss now, but even people who are tremendously close to him, he judges very, very strictly, right? It seems like it can't be even more any more strict than this. In Gemara Chagiga on Daf Hamad Aleph, it says, Rabbi Yochanan, kad hava mati lahaikra hava bachi. Rabbi Yochanan, when he would get to this pasuk over here, which we're going to say in a second, he would cry. What's the pasuk? Krafti alechan lamishpat vayisi eid memaher. Then vigomer. I'll explain what the vigomer is in a second. And I, referring to Hashem, and I, Hashem, will draw near to you for the judgment, and I'll be a swift witness against you. Now, it's referring to, it says, against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, and against those who extort the wage of the worker. Someone who doesn't pay their workers either on time or properly. So, if you look at those examples, and Hashem says, I'm going to judge you to how you should be judged. So the first two examples are someone who's a sorcerer, that's a pretty big sin, punished by the death penalty, if I'm not mistaken. And the other one, of course, which is a no-brainer of a very severe sin, is an adulterer. Third one could also say is a very intense sin of swearing falsely, swearing in God's name. But the last one of extorting wages of one's workers, it seems much more of like a blue-collar crime, as we'd call it. And so the fact that Hashem puts those examples in the same pasuk, so he says as follows, continuing in Mesil Yisharim, so Eved sheshoklim alav kolos kechamuros, a servant, meaning human beings, who are going to be weighed, the light ones, just like the heavy ones, takane yeshlo, is there any hope for us? Of course, the intention of this pasuk is not to say that the punishment is the same, that the adulterer is getting the same punishment for someone who doesn't pay his worker on time. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino mishan ela mida k'neged mida. Hashem only punishes mida k'neged mida. Every punishment is going to be exact. Omnam ha'inyan, who? Shel inyan mishkal ha'maisim kach olot bekach hakalot k'moch hamurot. But the idea here, and the intensity, and the reason why I caused him to cry, is that every action is put on the scale and is going to be weighed. Everything, whether it's a severe act or whether it's a slight act, a small act. Ki lo yashkicho achamurot et hakalos. Because Hashem is not going to forget the light sins just because they're heavy sins. It happens to be, it's interesting, because in halacha, we actually have this concept where if a person commits two sins at the exact same time, you're only judged for the more severe sin. So the case is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where if someone, habav machteret, if someone breaks into someone's house, and at that time, when someone breaks in, if it's assumed that they would kill you, then if they're, let's say, running around the house and they break a vase, so you call it a vase, vase. Someone breaks a vase, and the vase falls and cracks, so they're putter from paying you back. Why? Because they were chayav misa at that time, and you could kill them. Because of the two sins that they're doing, of breaking into your house and of breaking a vase, so they're putter for the breaking of a vase. But in general, when it comes to all the sins, if you don't do two things at the same time, every single thing is weighed. Hashem's not going to forget anything. V'lo yalim hadayon eino mehem klal. Hashem's not going to turn his head the other way. Kasher lo yalim me'achamuros. Just because, you know, I'll only, if it's not such a severe thing, I'll look the other way. El al kulam yashkiach v'fakach be'ashva achas. Rather, Hashem's going to inspect and examine everything. Ladun kol echa mehem ulahanish achar kach al kol echad kifi mashehu. That Hashem is going to be judging every single thing according to its nature, to how it is. V'hu mashe Shlomo HaMelech alav ha-shalom omer. We'll go on for a few more minutes. And as Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelis, in Yod Beis, ki es kol ma'aseh lokim yavi b'mishpat. Everything is judged. Hashem judges every single action that we do. Ki kacher ina kosh baruch hu maniach m'lishkoa kol ma'aseh tov katan kemoshu. Just as you wouldn't want it, where if you did a favor for someone, you wouldn't want Hashem to overlook that. Not just you wouldn't want that, but so the fact is, Hashem's not going to overlook that positive small act of chesed you did. Hashem's not going to overlook any small sin that you do. Hashem's going to weigh everything. And he says, Hadvarim hakalim v'lo yikach cheshbon alem. And this is a person shouldn't think, and a person should remove from their heart if they think that Hashem is going to overlook certain things. Ela klalohu, there's a klal. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama says, kol ha'omer kosh baruch hu vatrin hu, anyone who says Hashem overlooks sins, yizvatru me'ohi, may his innards be overlooked. I mean, like, you're going to die, kind of. And it's a very intense line. Footnote here discusses how the idea that the innards of a person are very intricate, and they're also very vital, right? Organs are extremely vital, and they're also extremely detailed. And here, every single thing that a person does, everything's important. If Hashem doesn't count everything, then there's really something big that's missing in that. V'chi amru, im omer l'cha yeter hara chata v'akosh baruch hu mocha l'cha, al tishmalo. If the yeter hara comes to you, yeter hara says, don't worry, do this sin, Hashem's going to forgive you, don't listen to him. Because that's not necessarily the case. And it says, v'zevet, and we'll end with this, v'zeh davar pashat mevora ki hine kel emes Hashem. That because it is pashat, that Hashem is a God who is honest, and not just honest, like MS. Hashem is everything of truth. And everything involved in the concept of truth is involved here. And Hashem looks at everything. And it's not to say, and he's going to be saying, as we'll get to, that of course a person could do tshuva. When you we see these intense things and these punishments that are meted out to people, and the fact that Hashem's going to weigh every single thing, it's true, Hashem does, but a person could do tshuva to get that erased, to get that, to be forgiven for these actions that person does. And we're going to be discussing shortly about the fact that, of course, Hashem is merciful. And how does mercy and justice interplay? How do they go together? So, Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to continue at our normal slot next Wednesday. I wish everyone a good Moed, a good second day of Yontif, a good Shabbos. Obviously, if you have any halacha questions, you could, of course, always text, call, email, whatever you like. And I look forward to learning with you next week. Mir Tov Hashem.